Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to another episode of Money Honeys, where we, Freddie,
Chantel,
and Devin,
are not only mastering our financial prowess,
but we're developing our business brilliance as well.
We have our returning guest of the pod, George Azar.
Woo, my boo.
Adore this man.
We love.
I love him.
George Azar is a financial planner, CPA, and founder of Holistic Budget.
Devotees might remember our bestie George from the episode that was all about budgeting.
He is here today to talk about how the F do we start a business? We got LLCs, we got S-Corps, we got C-Corps, all of it.
Whew, if you are a freelancer or thinking about starting a business, don't go anywhere because you'll need to know all of this.
Literally all of this, because they don't teach you this in school.
Mm-hmm.
And then you miss it and then you have to pay money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My brain is already spinning just thinking about
it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They sure don't teach you. And for that reason, we're going to teach you in two parts. So today, we have part one of how the fuck do I start a business?
Fun fact, Money Honeys is a business. So we're a little well-versed, but not really.
Not really. It was all Mama Chantel.
Yes.
Thank you, Chantel.
I created our S-Corp, but thank you all for being so willing and for signing stuff.
Yes.
Anytime.
You know, you made it easy.
Mm-hmm.
LegalZoom, baby. LegalZoom is where it's at for me.
So we have so much to cover with Baby George. This is such a meaty topic. We're going to hop into it
after the break.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
What's good, y'all? It's Aaliyah from the Young and Dumb Show. I have something for you. If you're young and interested in learning more about different careers, becoming an entrepreneur, and really get into the bag, then be sure to check out and subscribe to the Young and Dumb Show. On this show, we sit down with the biggest, and I'm talking the biggest, career professionals, entrepreneurs, influencers, and entertainers to break down how to be successful in different industries. It's brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip hop, powered by creators. Let's get it, y'all.
Hey And we are back. We have our guest, George Azar, back in the stew with us. Hey, George.
Hey, George.
Hello.
Hello, everyone. Oh, I'm so happy to be here. It was just so much fun the last time.
You're our fave, so. True.
Yes. Same.
Yes, our bestie, George. So, George, we want to talk about how to start a business, okay? So, what are some of the reasons why someone would be starting a business?
It's a great question. There are quite a few different reasons. If you are on your own, congratulations. You are independent of the man.
God bless. Uncle Sam. Well, actually, no, you're more indebted to Uncle
Sam.
Yeah,
we're always indebted to Uncle Sam. He's always there. Yeah. he's like God looking down over us. But the great thing about business is, you know, there's tax reasons, there's business reasons, depending on how you form your, you know, whether you form into a entity or it be a sole proprietorship, that all depends on your susceptibility for liability. And that's where, you know, I always recommend talk to an attorney, a business attorney when it comes to those matters, because they will be able to advise you as far as the different entity structures, what type of protections they have. You know, as a general rule, corporations have the most protection. Sole proprietorships have the least protection. So basically, you know, protecting yourself if you're in a high industry volatile or high risk industry, you know, going into an entity structure may be best for you just for liability purposes. And then there's also the tax issues. There are certain ways S-Corps are kind of the top dogs when it comes to tax savings. We'll get into that a lot more because that's actually one of my most favorite subjects is talking about S-Corps because so many people get thrown into them haphazardly, not realizing the ramifications. It's usually not the business owner's fault. It's usually poor advice that was granted down to them, whether it be from the attorney or the CPA. I see this all the time. I've literally built my practice around either dissolving or starting S corporations just because of the mismanagement. So, but yeah, that and then also just the freedom that you have, being able to, you know, distinguish yourself separate from the entity. You know, you are the person who is either employed or the owner and or the owner of that entity, or if you're a sole proprietorship, just being able to, you know, work under a DBA, and we can get into that process as well of what that entails and such.
Doing business as
officially.
Yes.
What if you just want to be a corporation because Uncle Scam respects them more than being an individual?
Oh, good question.
What if?
What if? Well, so.
What if, George?
right, exactly. Hey, if it's about reputation, it's all about opportunity cost is what it comes down to. Does the benefit outweigh the cost, you know? Yeah. So it's general economics, you know?
Right.
I have multiple times where I have people say, I just want an entity. I don't care if I owe $800 a year for this. I don't care if, you know, what the tax ramification. I just want to have an entity. I want to be able to tell people that I am the CEO. Perfect.
Okay.
If that trumps
it's
everything else, yeah.
Wow.
I want to put it on LinkedIn.
Right, exactly. Yes, I want to start a business profile.
Wait, one on LinkedIn is like CEO and creative director.
I know, yeah. Of Chantel Houston. Yeah.
CEO of Chantel Houston, Inc.
A professional corporation. Yeah.
George, I have a question that's not like, I don't want you to read into it, okay? But I'm actually very curious about this for creative purposes. What is the best business if you want to do shiesty stuff?
Oh, shiesty stuff.
like OnlyFans type stuff?
No, like what if your business is shiesty. I'm going to leave it open. Like, could be OnlyFans, could be money laundering, could be anything.
Perfect. All right, let's get into it.
What is the best tax qualification if you're doing shady shit?
Well, the ultimate rule is with shady shit is that the IRS, whether you're Al Capone or you're doing money laundering, whatever it is, the funniest thing about all this is that, you know, and why I think the orange bad, you know, monster that was previously our president is most likely going to go down is because of tax fraud. Like Al Capone went down because of tax fraud. Like all these different like shady people, like and eventually Trump most likely will go down for tax fraud. Mm. The reason is because they participate in illegal businesses. And it's not because they're doing illegal businesses. It's because the IRS code literally says if you make any income from any sources, whether it's legal or not, you have to report that income.
Yeah.
And so, like, they don't care. Like,
it's not like, yeah, they're not actually, like, mad that you're, like,
right.
a kingpin. Exactly. They just want you need to actually they want to claim that.
Literally. Like, you will not get into tax, you won't be in a tax fraud position if you report all of your income. That's what it comes down to. Now the law is also you can't take deductions, you know, so that's why, like, you know, weed companies and all that, they don't have bank accounts or whatever it is. One, they're federally recognized and regulated. So, you know, being a class one narcotic, marijuana companies aren't able to have bank accounts. But the other thing is, too, that, you know, they have to file a tax return. So, like, the IRS isn't going to come after you because you're selling weed. Mm-hmm. They're going to come after you if you don't report all of your income. Mm. And so, and then California's a whole different thing because it's legal. So you have this, it's kind of like with, like, marriage equality where, you know, before marriage equality, you know, the states had their own tax forms where you mm-hmm. can do married filed jointly. And then on the federal level, you would, you know, put single. So it's kind of this thing where, you know, you have to report all of the income regardless. And then if it's an illegal business, like if you have an escort company, not an S Corp.
Why not both?
Right, exactly.
That's my question. Yeah.
Right. As much as you want to write off.
I love the branding.
You know, right? I actually thought about that on the drive here. I was like, ooh, that's kind of a cute little, like, where am I going to throw that one in?
So glad we got it in there early.
Yes, I handed it right to you.
Yes, you did. It was almost like we, like, collaborated before. Mm-hmm.
In the stew.
We did not.
Yeah. I'm so
glad. But yeah, just as long, you know, you're not able to take deductions, but as long as you report that income. Now, if you are doing a legal business, but you're doing things illegally, that's a whole separate issue. So you can have a legal entity and, you know, file the articles of organization or incorporation, depending on, you know, which structure. But, you know, especially so corporations, whether it be an S Corp or a C Corp for legal purposes. And again, I preface this with, I am not an attorney. I'm not giving any legal advice. Mm-hmm. This is just a general rule as a CPA understanding is that corporate structures are like top dog when it comes to liability protection. So there's something called piercing the corporate veil that if you perform an act of gross neglect and it was intentional, then they can pierce through the corporate structure and come after the individual shareholders themselves. Where if it's the S corporate or the S corp or the C corp that's doing, you know, something illegal or whatever it is, then that entity will be held liable, and then, you know, then lawsuits can come against them. But again, if they can prove that you as the shareholder were willfully and neglectfully and intentionally doing something that is really shady, they can come after you individually, and the corporate structure then becomes null and void.
Interesting.
Okay. I have a lot to think about.
Yeah.
A lot to think of.
Right. So the moral of the story is don't do shady shit.
Sometimes you gotta. Listen, I represent part of our listeners who sometimes gotta.
I identify as sometimes I gotta.
I gotta.
So what are, you know, we're talking a lot about corporations, S Corps, C Corps, all that. Can you walk us through the different types of businesses and how to choose each one?
Yeah.
What they mean?
Absolutely.
Them, all it?
All the above. All the above. Let's do it. Yeah.
I don't even know what LLC stands for.
Limited Liability Company. Yeah.
Great entry point.
Yeah, here we go. Strap in.
It's like LLC ?
Right.
Tell me. All ears.
Right, all ears. What's funny is LLCs came into existence fairly recently. I don't know exactly when, but they were so you had partnerships, the LLPs, limited liability partnerships, where the individual partners had their own liability. So if they brought, you know, if it's an accounting firm or anything like that, they bring in their book of business, and so it isolates it based off of the owner. Where an LLC came into the play, and it kind of acts like a corporation. Like there's a lot more protections for an LLC, but it still allows to have the LLC structure. Whether you want to be taxed as a partnership or corporation, you can elect that. But the LLC in and of itself limits the liability. At the company level, excuse me, I said corporate, company level. But then if there isn't gross neglect, then, you know, obviously that would fall on the individual. So if, like, you have a partner who is doing something really shady, mm-hmm. and, you know, it could be traced to them, again, talk to your attorney about this and verify those facts. it will stay at that person. It won't, mm-hmm. it won't infect the entire company.
Got you. Mm-hmm.
So you have two, when you're selecting an entity, the two primary things to take into consideration are the legal issues and then the tax issues and treatments mm-hmm. and how they're treated. So mm-hmm. legal issues, again, going back to corporations, they are top dog unless you gross neglect, you know, they could pierce the corporate veil. Mm-hmm. That's like the highest protection you can get entity structure wise. Mm. Then you go down to the LLC and that we just talked about. So that has more protection than the LLP. The LLP has more protection than a sole proprietorship. Sole proprietorship is pretty much the bottom of the barrel mm-hmm. when it comes to liability protection. So it opens you wide up. So your personal assets are no different than the business assets in a sole proprietorship. So if you were to be sued, they can come after your personal assets, where if you're in an entity structure, they come after the assets of that company, again, as long as there's no gross neglect. So that's the legal side of it. And I just wanted to kind of highlight that because, again, that's not my area of specialty and it's, you know, should be talked to an attorney. But with taxes, and this is my favorite part.
Ooh.
I know, right? Ooh, yeah, that meme. Yeah. Is it the cat?
Shack. Oh, the Shack. Shack.
Yeah. That's right. And then the cat's like sitting there like, yeah. Yeah. Yep, exactly.
That's good. Classic.
That's exactly it.
Yes.
So there are very common misconceptions about the tax benefits for having an entity versus a sole proprietorship. Mm. So number one is the single member LLC. Mm-hmm. I often get clients that say, hey, I heard that I can save a lot more in taxes if I start an LLC by myself as mm-hmm. opposed to being a sole proprietorship. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm like, absolutely not.
Oh,
yes.
Oh,
see,
right.
I thought that.
Right. Because a single member LLC is considered disregarded for federal tax purposes. And what that means is they don't recognize a single member LLC as a separately taxable entity. So what ends up happening if you have a single member LLC, it gets reported on your Schedule C. Now the name of the LLC will be on there because it'll say, what's the business name? And you'll have it, you know, ABC LLC. Ooh, I like that.
Ooh, that's really good. We're coming up with some bangers.
I did not think about that one on the way here. ABC LLC.
Yeah, love it.
Use that throughout the entire time. there is no separate tax form on the federal level as far as an LLC. So, you know, whether, you know, the home office deduction, mileage deductions, all of that, whether you're a single member LLC or a sole proprietor, those rules are still the same. So that's, it's so funny because I always get clients like, and I don't want to assume the intention of whoever gave them advice, but it is a lot more administratively costly to have an entity because you have to keep separate books and records and all of that. But there really is no benefit that I can see. I'm going to mm-hmm. disclaim that is that I have yet to come across any research that an LLC for tax purposes, not mm-hmm. legal purposes, for tax purposes, that's different, a single member LLC that's different between a sole proprietorship.
Mm-hmm. Where did we get that from? I feel like we got that from the Twitter professionals.
Yes, exactly.
The Twitter tax, like the you know, the rise and grind people.
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
Oh my God. I cannot tell. And now it's on TikTok.
Yeah.
And
yes.
I had a client send me something and they're like, hey, I saw this TikTok. I can buy a luxury vehicle every year and write it off and be fine. And I'm like,
what?
Yes, no joke. This woman on TikTok was like giving tax advice. no credentials whatsoever. I went to her profile. I was like, who are you? She was like, oh, yeah, I've been buying a Range Rover every year, and I've been writing it off, and then I go and buy another one. And I'm like, wait a second. That's a depreciable asset. Okay, fine. You know, whatever accountant, like, there's certain rules with, like, bonus depreciation. I won't go into the details about that. But vehicles don't fall under that bonus depreciation. But let's entertain it for a second. Okay, fine. You're able to write off the whole vehicle in a year. You now have a zero tax basis inside of that vehicle. So when you go to sell it or exchange it or do something with that, you owe taxes on whatever the sell price is less your basis. Your basis is zero. So you pay capital gains, and it would be short term because it was held for less than a year, on that vehicle. So I was just like, absolutely not. Do not do that.
Yeah.
Like, I will fire you in an instant if you do that.
Oh, yes.
What?
Yeah.
The Twitter professionals.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
There's like Twitter attorneys. You know, the Twitter attorneys, the Twitter music execs who knows, they know everything that's happening behind the scenes when an album comes out.
Yeah.
Like, there's just like all these just like people on Twitter or even TikTok.
That's exactly it. That's exactly where we get this information from. So we hear it from social media. We hear it from our friends, their accountants or whatever. But when you actually sit down and do it and try to explain it to people, like, they're like, oh, wait, that's not right. That's not accurate, you know?
Right. So it might offer more like legal protection-ish than if you're just on your own without a business. But tax-wise, you're getting kind of screwed.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, again, this is my based off of my research.
Yeah.
I have yet for someone to prove me wrong in this.
Yeah.
But if you look at the tax return. Now, the other thing about that, too, that's a downside for tax purposes is that in the state of California, like if you're in New York or you're, you know, in another state, like LLC fees are like $25, $50, $100, depending on gross receipts. California, the starting one is $800 a year. So you can make zero. You can make negative income on a single member LLC and still have to pay $800 per year. Now, some people argue and say, well, I have the liability protection and that's why I have it. Fine. But you can also get personal liability insurance and an umbrella that would be much less than that. So it's so interesting, the stuff that just floats out there. So yes, so in California, it does not make sense to be an LLC if you're not doing it for any other reason but legal reasons or protection or, you know, some other, you know, altruistic. But tax in and of itself, on a tax return, it looks the same as if you're a sole proprietorship. Other than California, where you have to do a Form 568, but that just reports the gross receipts from the LLC, which then determines how much you owe, that $800 that, or $1,700, $6,200, or $11,000. Dollars based off your gross receipts. Anyway.
Wow.
So that's the LLC.
We don't like him very much.
Yeah.
We don't like him very much.
Wow, that's crazy. Because I feel like just a couple years ago, you and I were having this discussion with what kind of business should we open?
Yes.
And we were deciding between...
Yes.
Okay, well, I want to know really fast, what are the different types of businesses? Because I think I'm starting to get confused because I heard sole proprietorship, obviously we talked about, LLCs, S-Corps, C-Corps. My head is spinning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the what, you know?
Yeah. So for tax purposes, so entity-wise, you know, a corp is a corp, whether you're an S-corp or you're a C-corp. You know, it's so confusing. For tax purposes, a corporation could be an S-corp or a C-corp. If you are an LLC, you automatically default as a partnership, but you can elect to be treated for tax purposes as a C-corp or an S-corp if you get those elections approved. And there's certain form.
What's an election?
Oh, sorry. So the election is, so if you're an LLC and you elect to be treated like a corporation, you have to fill out a separate form that says, I am an LLC that wants to be treated as a corporation, a C corporation, or wants to be treated as an S corporation. Then with the S corporation, you have to actually elect for that S corporation status too, as well as on the 2553 form. So Or you can do it on the initial filing of the tax return. So an LLC and an LLC can elect to be treated for tax purposes as a partner, or well, default it's a partnership, or it can elect to be treated as a C corp or an S corp if it gets the S election.
So I guess my question is, why wouldn't you just
be
yeah
an S corp or a C corp? Why are we going through that LLC hole?
No, that's perfect. Yeah. That's a perfect question. So as far as the corporate structure and how it's taxed, the distinguishment between the C corp and the S corporation, a C corp has a double taxation issue, and what that means is that the entity in and of itself has a tax, and that's where it's at, you know, 21% currently, and it, you know, will be fluctuating and such. But the C corp in and of itself gets taxed there. Let's just say, for example purposes, your net income is $20,000. You know, you owe $4,000 on that, and that's the tax that the corporation pays. Then, how a C corp is treated for tax, or how the shareholders receive the benefits of that corporation, is through dividend distributions. Mm. So mm-hmm. let's say that corporation then distributes $5,000 of dividends. The person, the shareholder picks that up and then is taxed on those dividends as well. So it becomes double taxed because it's on already taxed dollars. So,
yeah.
So that's where the introduction of the S corp came in. So this was in the 80s. It was like the heydays of like finding tax loopholes. Thanks, Reagan.
Yeah, thanks, Reagan. Cool.
I said that half-assedly, but.
But I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah. The S corp became the vehicle to be able to mitigate that double taxation. So what happens is, for legal purposes, the corporation is still treated like a C corp or just a corporation in general. Uh-huh. But for tax purposes, it's like a partnership where the income flows from the entity down to the individual shareholder. So yep. you pick up a K-1. So effectively what happens is there's no taxable income at the S corporation level because everything is now being passed down to the individual shareholders, who then pay taxes on their pro rata share of that net income. So in that example, that $20,000, you have a 50-50 partnership. The S corporation will fill out the 1120S. There's no tax due on that. Mm. And then $10,000 will go to one shareholder, $10,000 will go to the other. It'll be taxed on their 1040 individual tax return.
Mm.
So that's kind of how they got around it. So it's the best of all worlds, where it's like you have the corporate protections in an S corp, but then you also have the pass through treatment in an S corp for tax purposes.
Mm-hmm. So who's doing C corp? Because it doesn't seem right. like it's. Like, what do we need it for?
Big businesses. No. Like Lay's.
Great question.
The big right? Ones. The okay. biggins, right?
The biggins, exactly. Okay. Like
the biggins.
The biggins, yeah. Exactly, exactly. So the one, you know, like publicly traded companies need to be corporations. So like in
Maytag.
Order to, yeah, Maytag, exactly.
What's her name?
Exactly.
Them? Starbucks. McDonald's.
Starbucks. Yeah. So the corporations that are public.
Yeah, so the corporation.
You have to be a C corporation to be public.
And there's privately traded, or there's publicly traded partnerships as well, but in order to be a corporation, because you have shareholders, so it's public money that's going in there. So when you buy shares in a company, you become an owner in that company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then how you get rewards is through dividends and then also the appreciation of those stocks. But mm-hmm. we could think Dodge versus Ford on that one, and that's a whole.
Oh no.
The profitability of corporations. It was a case in the 20s that ended, or 30s, I think it was. Dodge ended up suing Ford because Ford said that they were going to keep the money inside of the corporation and do research and development and pay their employees more. Well, Dodge was a huge investor, and he was a big shareholder in there. So he sued Ford for doing that because he's like, no, the benefit of a corporation is the profitability of its shareholders. And the Supreme Court actually ruled in favor of Dodge, saying, yes, the intent of a corporation is the profitability. And hence why we're in this shitty situation where Apple's R&D goes down and our research and development has gone down and all that. Because they're just
because they have
up.
To pass it out to the shareholders
exactly.
versus reinvesting like back into their company.
Exactly.
Dang.
So.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
That is some history.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dodge.
What's the book? I forgot. It's a Main Street. How it's something about how Main Street eats, or how Wall Street eats Main Street, or something along those lines. It's in a fascinating book. It talks about the capitalization and leveraging of corporations like Apple, becoming banks in a sense, driving up their shares and appreciation. Anyway, that book talks a lot about that case too in the 30s about Dodge versus Ram. Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
Anyway, all that to say, so corporations, the biggest thing about that is, the profitability is, that they're able to, have that money and then distribute it down to their shareholders. And then the shareholders end up picking, they don't care about the double taxation because it's the shareholders' responsibility to pay taxes on those dividends. Mm-hmm. They just have to pay the corporate tax rate. So there's that reason. Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
Well, okay, so now we've done S corps, we've done C corps. Talk to me about, I understand the a pyramid of protection, mm-hmm. because then they have from the liability side, these are more protected. But then we move down to LLCs and sole proprietorships. Mm-hmm. So why in a tax situation would somebody do that if it's not beneficial to them? Talk to me about the development of these plans.
Great question. So if you have partners, then an LLC or an LLP is beneficial because it protects the liability for you as the individual partner if someone was to do something shady or anything like that. Mm. The other thing is, an LLC, a multi-member LLC is what we call them. A multi-member LLC or LLP, if treated for tax purposes as a partnership, will be a flow-through, like an S-corp, where it takes the income and it all passes down to the individual partners. They pay their respective taxes. As a partner, you can also pay yourself from the LLC or the LLP, through wages if you materially participate in there. Because what ends up happening, you could do special allocations. There's a lot of creative ways that LLCs and LLPs have from corporations. With corporations, they're a lot more strict. So whatever your percentage is what you get. There's no this person worked more, so we're gonna allocate more dividends to them or more income. No, your pro rata shares come out based off of your percentages. Where an LLC and an LLP, you can do special allocations. Now, granted, you do have something what we call substantial economic effect, where if you have one person who's getting a lot of money, but they're not putting enough money into the corporation or into the business, to the LLC or LLP, there may be tax consequences when they actually get rid of their interest because their basis in that entity has gone below. They have, anyway, that's a very complicated subject that we won't cover because it'll melt your brains. It melts my brain. So I'm just going to say that. Whenever I get someone who does special allocations, I'm like, let me refer you out to somebody else, because it's just such a, but LLCs and LLP give you that freedom to be able to do special allocations and kind of structure things differently and such.
It's like one of those colleges that are create your own major.
Exactly.
Just being I made 10K this year. I have to report that to the government. These are the taxes that I pay on it. End of story.
Exactly. Yeah.
Got it.
Exactly.
Which is what it would be if you were a individual, mm-hmm. versus being a business.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you get on your K-1, you pick up the net proceeds of your percentage based off of the activity within that entity. Mm-hmm. So let's just say you have a 60-40 partner, 60%, 40%, and it's $20,000. What's going to end up happening is that there will be a distribution based off of your ownership percentages. So, oh my gosh, wow, why did I do those numbers? I think 12,000 and 8. Wait. I'm 10% times 2, that's how my brain works. $12,000 and $8,000 go to those, based off of that net income. And so then they pick that up, and then it becomes it's also subject to self-employment tax, which we'll then get into the benefits of an S corp. So then you're taxed on, that amount on income tax and self-employment tax because you are a partner that didn't get wages withheld or anything like that from the LLC or the LLP.
Got you.
But the LLC can, I guess that's one of the benefits if you're a single member LLC. You can at some point elect to be treated as an S-Corp. So some people say, okay, well, let me just get the entity protection. And I know that at some point, once my gross receipts start coming up, I'm going to elect to be an S-Corp. So you already have it established as opposed to having going through that process again. So that can be another reason why somebody starts an LLC. Sorry, throwback.
Yes, yeah. You brought it back around.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're like going to create a business, can you just create an S-Corp from the get-go?
No. Great question.
So you have to go the LLC and election route.
You have to go C corp and then elect S corp. So you can set up a corporation. So on this, so for legal purposes, you either incorporate or you organize. Incorporations are for corporations. So they don't care. Like the Secretary of State, you do it on the Secretary of State's website, and then there's also local jurisdiction stuff and regulations and registration and stuff. But simply speaking, entities are governed by state agencies, and those are by the Secretary of State. So on the Secretary of State's website, you go there and you say, I want to file articles of organization. That means that you want to file as an LLC or an LLP. And then it'll ask you which one you want. If you do articles of incorporation, that means you're becoming a corporation. Now, it's the same type of process, whether you're a nonprofit or you're a C Corp. I mean, there's different applications, but it's the same type of process where you are going in saying, I am a corporation. Then if you want to be treated as an S corporation, you need to get the good graces from Uncle Sam and file the 2553 form, which is an election to be treated as an S corporation. And so legally, it stays the same. The entity is what it is what it is. It just stays a corporation regardless. For tax purposes, that election then gives you the good graces to not be treated as a C corp, but an S corporation, and the IRS has to approve it.
What's the reason that they would deny?
Either the disqualification. So S corporations have very strict rules. You can't have more than 100 members. They have to be U.S. citizens. They can't be a states or trusts, or like they can't be other entities. It has to be like an individual. Well, there's certain trusts that can be, but they're very strict rules. The other reason is because maybe that entity applied for S corporate structure before and terminated it. There's a 5-year waiting period on that. So the IRS might say, wait, you already had S corp status 2 years ago. You know, you can't do this until five. You know, so there's multi. Those are like the most common. But yeah, if they don't qualify, then it shouldn't be approved. I've seen it where it has been, and I'm like, oh my god. So then we had to rope in an attorney, and anyway, it became a mess.
A whole mess.
But yeah. So for entity purposes, you are what you are. For tax purposes, you make those elections to be treated a certain way.
Oh, that makes sense.
What happens if you go from LLC? Like, what if? Yeah. AKA, here's what I did. Yeah. Did I fuck up? What if you like formed an LLC and then kind of the same deal? Like a year later, you're like, okay, I should be an S corp, so then I elect to be an S corp. That's all good.
Totally fine. Okay. Yeah.
But I have articles of organization versus incorporation.
Exactly. So you stay in LLC for legal purposes. You don't have to pretty much do anything with the Secretary of State. You're still a viable business. But for tax purposes, you've elected to be treated. So there's two forms, actually. I forgot the number of the form, but there is the, like, it's an intent to change how your entity is taxed. And then there's also the 2553. So everybody fills out the 2553. Or you can check the box election. There's a check the box election on the 1120S that you can, you know, elect to be treated. There's also, you can, you know, if you did a late election, there's relief for that. It's pretty like the IRS makes it pretty easy for somebody to do that.
Yeah. It was literally one form, and then like 6 months later, I got a letter that was like, great, you'll be treated as an S corp from like the beginning of this year. And
exactly.
I was like, cool. Yeah.
Exactly. So they're just informed. And 6 months is good. I'm still waiting for one client for a year now. It's been nuts.
Wow.
Yeah. The IRS is a shit show right now, as we like to say. Not their fault, but.
Yeah. Sorry, this is nitty gritty. Is it bad to have articles of organization versus articles of incorporation?
Not bad. It depends on what your intent is. So that's where it comes down to the legal side of it, where it's like, okay, so if you are an LLC treated as an S corporation, you still keep the articles of organization because you didn't change the entity. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to start a new entity and dissolve that LLC, then you can do that. But no, there's no that's more like the legal side where you know, if you were to be sued, they would be suing the LLC.
Versus suing the corporation.
Exactly.
Got it.
Because it's not, yeah.
Right. Okay, yeah. And so then since I'm kind of basically just quote unquote, incorporated myself, it doesn't really matter. I'm not trying to create a BuzzFeed from my LLC that's now an S corp. I'm just kind of all right, I just want tax benefits for me as a freelancer.
Exactly. So when you elect S corp, you're not changing the entity structure. Mm-hmm. You're changing the way that entity is treated for tax purposes. Mm-hmm.
See, this is what I don't understand, y'all. Yeah. And this is a digression, but stick with me. The government can't recognize folks who, are different genders. They can't use different pronouns, but we can transform businesses and be considered different tax entities within months. And the government's cool. Mm-hmm.
I love that point.
It's true.
I mean, that works for us as long as we get our money. Yeah. You know, what?
It's true.
Yeah. I love that. Have you read Sapiens?
No, it's on my Amazon wish list. Yeah. Yeah. I've heard of it.
It talks about that, how entity, they use a car company as an example. They're this is a figment of our imagination. It's because as a community, we've decided that this is what it is. You know, that can change with laws. But you're right.
Is it the forms? Is it the formage?
Yeah.
Right. If that's it, we can make up some bullshit forms for people to fill out.
Right.
Well, I could do that right now. I'm on Google right now.
I'm sure I could
Google
find
forms. Yeah. www.
Right.
Yeah. No, true.
Yeah, but it's true. Yeah. It's true.
Just get a form and throw a bunch of numbers together and call it a 411-46 ABC.
Right.
G. And now.
I'm an eternal corporation.
Yes.
I don't have to pay taxes.
Yes. So I am an S corp, but I did the route of, like I said, create my LLC and then elected to be an S corp. I sent in the form, got my response magically. Mm-hmm. And so then now it's what you were saying of, in order to pay the quote unquote members, AKA me, I run payroll now, but then the money, if I made 10,000, if I did a deal, whatever, I get 10,000, that 10,000 isn't taxed until I run it through the payroll.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it's I'm paying just my normal taxes I would if I was getting paid 10,000 from a company.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And then my S corp pays a little bit too, right?
No, so the S corp does, well, the S, yes, sorry, the S corp
on the
pays
payroll.
Half of the pay,
yeah,
the payroll, the Social Security and Medicare tax, exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you pay half.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect segue into what I want to talk about with S corps is that, because, so the one was the one that I often get is the single member LLC, the second one is the S corp. People just get thrown into S corps.
Yeah.
Going back to the conversation about in the 80s when S-Corps came into existence, what ended up happening was people were like, okay, great. This is a viable way for me to avoid payroll taxes.
Mm-hmm.
What that is, it's Social Security and Medicare. If you are an employee and you receive a W-2, you will see on there FICA. You'll see, federal, you'll see Medicare, Social Security. The companies in and of themselves pay half and you pay the other half. If you're a sole proprietor, you end up paying the full amount. You get a deduction for that. But anyway, to be able to mitigate the additional tax on that. But what happens in an S corp is that you are the owner and you're an employee.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's the biggest thing that people miss. I have had countless clients come to me saying, hey, my accountant told me to become an S corp, become an S corp, said I would be saving thousands of dollars on payroll. I didn't explain it to me. I've never issued payroll. What's going on? And I would look at their tax return and that, they would make I'll just give a random number, let's just say $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this doesn't make sense because what happens is, so in the 80s, they were like, people were just funneling cash from the S corporation. They were taking distributions from the S corp, but they weren't paying themselves a salary. So the IRS nipped that in the butt real quick and basically said, no, like, in order for you to become an S corp or to oblige by the rules of an S corp, you need to pay yourself a reasonable salary. Because what happens is, the salary is taxed at income tax and then payroll taxes. And then anything else that comes out of the S corp to the shareholder is taxed at income tax, but it's not taxed at that payroll tax, that 15%. And so what people were doing was, they're like, okay, I'm going to issue myself $10,000 and then take $90,000 out of this S corporation. And I'll pay income tax on the 90, but I won't have to pay any taxes on payroll taxes. And that's where the IRS will audit. It's not a matter of if, but when they will come after you. Because this reasonable salary clause.
Working the system too hard.
Right. And and that's the thing. Like, people just, like, they, like, and I feel so bad because I get so many people that come to me and they're like, my accountant told me to do this and he elected me as an S corp and I don't know what to do. Like, you know, and so most of the times I can't tell you how many times I've had to, like, advise them to dissolve the S corporation because it made absolutely no sense based off of their income, because most of their income was going to go to wages anyway. So there's no benefit of the S corp because nothing's getting taken out at, you know, payroll tax. So, like, you know, so I have a general rule, and this is my rule. This is where, you know, this isn't IRS, this isn't anything. My rule is that if somebody doesn't have more than $100,000 in gross receipts, it makes absolutely no sense to be an S corp because, especially in California with the reasonable salary, you know, the IRS is very opaque when it comes. They're like, just reasonable salary. They don't tell us, like, they give us, like, general guidelines, but they don't tell us this is a reasonable salary. This is how you can determine it. And so it's left up to the tax practitioners and the lawyers to figure out what is a reasonable salary based on industry, where you live, what type of income you're receiving. You know, it could be argued that an actor, because it is their image, it's like likeness and image is the term, because their business is solely based off of their image, all of their income could be treated as salary because, again, like, the business in and of itself has no intrinsic value other than that person being the image. So making sure that you give yourself some sort of reasonable salary based off of, you know, and I do it based off of, you know, the what's reasonable, and, you know, whether it be through Glassdoor or anything like that, figuring out what the national and local averages are for someone in that similar position, that will almost guarantee you not becoming under the scrutiny of the IRS, because they're going to see. So there's two places on the tax return where that's reported. There's a specific place on your 1120S that says officer wages, and it has the name and the social security number of that officer. And they look at that wage line and they say, okay, then they go to your K-1 and they look at the distribution. I believe it's box 15 or 16. I should know that one by heart. if there's no distribution there, then you're fine because you didn't take anything out of the S corporation. It stayed within the corporation. But if you're taking money out of that corporation in addition to your salary, or you have no salary at all, that pushes your return higher up the IRS's audit list because they're seeing that there's a distribution, and if they see no wages there, they're like, well, wait a second, this person is abusing the S corp. And so anyway, so it's very imperative that you talk to a competent CPA, keyword competent.
Yeah. The C stands for competent.
Exactly. competent for public accountant.
Yeah.
We should reach out. Talking branding. About our different forms. We should probably
It's all about the branding.
Competent
right.
public accountant.
Yes.
Who understands these rules, that understands that you need to have you are an employee of your S corp and you are also a shareholder, and making sure that you are getting a reasonable salary from that S corp.
And you don't have to do that by yourself. I speak from experience. There are a lot of great programs. Like, I use Gusto. If you're listening, sponsor us.
That's what I use too. Although I kind of look Gusto. Is it Gusto?
Gusto.
It's both, probably.
Yeah, I call it whatever you want. Yeah. Pick your own flavor.
Yeah. Gusto sounds more European and rich.
Gusto.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Italian.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Gusto is, and like payroll.com, there's a lot of different agencies that help you. Mm-hmm. And then you just basically boop, boop, beep, fill it out. They give you a call and walk you through how to fill it all out. And then you set up payroll.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I love Gusto. I use them for my practice as well. They're fantastic.
It's great.
They won't advise you on reasonable salary, but they will show you how easy it is to issue yourself payroll. Now, going back to your question with payroll, so yes, in effect, and this is how I do it for my clients, what I do is if they have an S corp, and then also I know that there's going to be substantial income after that, and they're going to, you know, have to pay income tax on that, I will do withholding from their W-2 each month, as opposed, or you can do it at the end of the year, because the nice thing about payroll, other than quarterly estimated tax payments, quarterly estimated tax payments have due dates. And if you miss it by a day, you get penalized for missing that. Mm. With payroll, it's attributable for the entire year. So there's something called an S-Corp closeout process, which I perform for some of my clients as well, where we'll issue payroll in December, because that payroll and the withholding, I mean, they have to obviously have substantial income in there for the taxes to be paid.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll do a zero out payroll where we do it in December, and then it's attributable for the entire year. So you don't have to worry about doing it every single month, or, you know, if it's something that you just don't want to think about and you want to do once a year, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Just as long as you're issuing yourself a reasonable salary.
Yeah. Mm. Y'all.
It's a lot. I feel like it needs to be a two-parter.
I know. We can do one just about S-Corps, basically.
Yeah.
Y'all, we just finished recording with Beautiful George and realized there's so much information that we have to make this two episodes, maybe three. It's probably going to be two. We don't know. But this is where we're going to put a pin in it for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Tune in next week, because we're going to circle back with George and we're going to get into the weeds, into the nitty gritty. You're going to learn from more of my mistakes, lol. And apply these learnings to your beautiful lives. Mm-hmm. So don't miss out.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a new game that we're introing next week. So stay tuned.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun, a lot of learnings, but also like some boobies and like googies, you know? Don't take that out. That was awful. I don't know what that was. All right, bye.
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 Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.